This is You Can If You Will with success coach, trainer, and speaker, Kip Kent. The show where everything we do is aimed at helping you become personally effective and professionally successful.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Kip Kent, and once again, I have a terrific guest for you today. Jeff Sherman is Vice President of Business Development at Innovation Simple, where they're bridging technologies with marketing in order to help companies succeed. Jeff received his Master of Education degree at Weber State University and is also the Director of Training for the School of Life Foundation, where he has served for 7 years providing motivational training and materials to youth and companies throughout the world. He also serves as chair-elect on the advisory board for Leadership Academy, providing entrepreneurial insight to high school students prone to leadership. Certified by the National Speakers Association, Jeff has facilitated hundreds of corporate trainings for organizations such as Questar Gas, Southwest Federal Credit Union, Viracon Glass, Holiday Inn, Wingate Hotels, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, and Toyota. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, as I read that list of clientele, it almost makes me want to grunt reading all those really nice cars there at the end. You've worked with a lot of high-end clients.
You know, it's people. Need clients, need opportunities. The fun thing about training and facilitating is, Kip, you're the master of this, just getting to know people and seeing what you can do to help them out.
There's no doubt about that. You know, people are like snowflakes, in my opinion. No two alike. Always a lot of fun to work with.
Sure.
And, of course, my listeners are just like that. They're entrepreneurs and business owners and people starting companies or looking to grow their companies.
We all just need to think out of the box or to have a fresh idea or to run something past one another that worked. And, you know, you putting these events together for your clientele is just superb, in my opinion. Good job.
Well, it's enjoyable, too. I'll tell you, I learn from my guests every time, so it certainly helps me grow my own business as well.
That's the good stuff right there.
Jeff, let's jump right into it. You're an advertising expert. I've known you for a long time now. For the listeners, what part does advertising play in a company's growth?
Well, it's what creates awareness of your brand. The neat thing is that it can't create your brand. You know, a lot of people feel that if I can just advertise, I can advertise my way into success. That's just not true. The truth of it is, if I can be successful as a company, I can advertise that success. And there's the difference. And so we want to have a functioning company, a functioning mindset, that advertising is just exposing us to the population.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, advertising doesn't make your company great. It simply gets the story out about great companies.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's absolutely
very good.
Correct.
So break it down for us a little bit. Just what are the key components of a strong marketing strategy?
It starts early. It starts with sitting down and actually closing the door, getting out a dry erase board, marker, and going through why are you in business. When we can understand in a boardroom or with a few people, maybe even just a partner or a colleague, why are we in business? And what makes us really tick? Where's our passion in this business? Because if we can identify that, that's the center, that's the core, really, Kip, of determining what it is we're going to tell people, what our message is going to be, how are we going to get it out there. Knowing why you're in business and what maybe sets you apart from the others, and you can get to that even in further development, but knowing why you're in business, I think, is integral. Then secondly, who are your people? What talent base do you have? What are you going to draw from as you create this marketing strategy? And so you're drawing out on your dry erase board these things, and you begin to see strengths and talents. Now, how do we utilize those talents, and how are we going to get that out there in our strategy? You begin to look at a little bit of research, some thought, awareness of your competition, but really not advertising like your competition. We see these niches come up, these pillars where they different modalities will continually just advertise like their competitor over and over again. until someone comes up with something fresh. And then everyone will jump on and advertise like the new fresh message until something fresh. You know, it's an interesting paradigm to watch.
I read a book once called Differentiate or Die, and that seems to be partly the message that you're giving right here too. You can't just be the same or it gets lost in the noise.
Well, it's a shortcut, and shortcuts are, you know, seldom the way to go. Here's the thing. Most marketing strategies never become a strategy. They become a marketing idea or an ad campaign. And our neighbors are doing this, our customers have said this, our competitors are doing this. Out of those three, listen to what the customers are saying. Get your message to your customer. Know what your clients want. Know what your competitor's doing, but focus on the client. Be fresh there, and you'll find the success. You cannot just throw your money in with what everybody else is doing and expect to have great results.
Interesting. So I have clients tell me all the time, Kip, I'd love nothing more than to advertise and attract new clients, but I'm concerned that it's just too expensive. How can a company owner, those that are making the decisions for these dollars within the company, advertise without breaking the bank?
Well, that's a great point. We don't want to overspend and overallocate our funds. And so initially, we know what our budget is. And with that knowledge of a budget, we need to also budget what our timeline is. You know, urgency is seldom the answer. Well-thought-out budgets, well-thought-out marketing strategies, and recognizing who our people are, those are great ways to save money. Here's why. We throw all of it into a hurried decision, only to pull out later and having lost the money we spent thus far. And so if we can think it out strategically, budget it out, find out our timetable, and release it in a manner that's well thought out, we're saving money. Second thing is there's so many things we can be doing, especially nowadays, Kip. Really, it's not hard to do things without throwing money at it. What are we doing as a company to network? What network circles are we in? Are we using our local chambers? Are we using our local events that are happening? Are we using our local chambers and events that are happening around that? Do we belong to networking clubs? Are we out there in the community, first of all, as business owners, but second of all, as employees? What are they doing in the community? Those are great things. Well, what is the community? Kip, we're using a podcast this morning. Our community is the world. Some of the things that don't cost much are, you know, digital networking, like utilizing a blog and understanding and utilizing things like Twitter or even Facebook. Pinterest has come on really strong. You know, we've got local things. Here's one that I think is just brilliant. I see you using it all the time. How about we just gather our target audience and put together a training that helps them understand something about how to succeed in their businesses? Or how is our product best utilized, but not really trying to promote our product? Get involved with events like that.
So interesting. I know this phrase, you and I have heard it before, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. My listeners are experts in their line of business. So I think what I'm hearing you say is, put some of that knowledge out there, help people, educate people, ease in the minds of those around them in order to essentially market or advertise. I've heard it said once that marketing is simply telling people what you do and telling them over and over again.
That's right, and being what you do. It's what you are. It's so funny when we network. You and I are out and about, and we run into a lot of professionals. And as we're working with them, we find people that they're not real confident in networking. Or they think that that's for a position in a company other than theirs. The interesting thing about networking is it's just a name to help summarize an action. But get out on purpose at a determined site and make a difference for your company. Do that by finding out how to make a difference for others. And it is just a concept that is really true. I think most of my opportunities have come from relationships where initially it was started by just seeing what we could do to help someone out.
Absolutely. It so often turns out to be that way. I think Zig Ziglar said it. You help enough other people get what they want, and you'll get what you want. Just help others. Just serve others. So I have a question for you. What do business owners most commonly overlook when they're developing a marketing plan? If they even develop a marketing plan, because I know that some don't, but when they do, what are they most commonly overlooking?
A lot of times it's just their internal marketing. They say, well, we're a company of 25 people. If the marketing decisions are being made by the executives, that's 24 people, perhaps, that don't even know what's happening with the marketing. And that's a shame because they're going to go out and be your best source of exposure. And you say, well, that's just 25 people. What can they do? They can do a lot. They can have ideas.
Well, 25 times more than what one person can do, right? 25 times more is exponentially greater than one person doing the marketing, right? So I think that's what you're implying here.
Well, and it seems to be oversimplified. It's like, well, Jeff, I'm a business operator. I know very well that I need my people to be aware of what I do. You can walk into a business right now, go downtown, pick a business, walk in, talk to a worker there, and say, what is your recent ad in the paper? What are you recently blogging about? What's great about your company's new efforts in moving forward? Do you think it's going to come right off the top of their tongue? They're going to say, well, I know we have some specials, and I think we've got some goals. Can I get back to you on that? You know, because the communication is more monthly or quarterly or just some awareness like that. Whereas if you were having a marketing campaign where you didn't bring all your employees in all the time, but you were bringing people in and out, and then you were asking them to talk about it, and you were using an internal newsletter, and you were sharing ideas, then you're fostering this larger approach, and you're going to have better results. It didn't cost you anything more.
So internal,
it cost you less.
So internal marketing is literally marketing to your own people. In other words, they understand what's being marketed, how it's being put out there, how it's being advertised. They all understand the message. They're all going in the same direction in terms of knowing what the plan is. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, it is. If we're going to expose it outward, we probably should first expose it inward and let people know, because our brand is not our logo. A logo is just a print indicator identifying our company. Here's the thing. A brand is your people. And so if we take advertising through our people and they're understanding it, now they're relating it throughout the culture, now we have a brand, we're in the why, we're in business, and we can then take that internal knowledge and cohesion, and now we can take it out and expose it to the world. Because again, advertising is not building your business as far as creating success, it's exposing your success.
Now listen, I want to stay with this idea of the importance of our people internally. We just talked about marketing inwardly so that our entire team of folks, whether we've got two of us or five of us or 25 of us or 100,
right,
that they're all completely aware of our marketing and our plan and what our message is to our clients. I talk to my clients often about company culture, and they seem to think that culture is something the business owners develop maybe once they grow to a really large scale, then they'll focus on that. What would you say to those who think that?
Well, that's kind of like dating and saying, we're going to fall in love once we've got a family. You start where you're at. You recognize that, hey, we're five people. We're 10 people. That's what makes us mighty. That's when we can establish the habits. That's when we can establish the culture much easier. If I have 10 people that are communicating well, and that they're embracing their creativity and they're feeling empowered, you know, they're feeling like, I'm a part of this company. And then I have 12, easier to assimilate those new two than to wait till I have 100 employees and then say, you know what, we're going to start building a culture. We want you to all take part in advertising. We want you to all take part in the mission of this company. Very difficult to do. So beginning at the basics with where you are now and moving forward. But don't be alarmed.
You know what?
Say I'm a company of 200 people, and I really haven't, as a leader, I haven't really established culture. I've just kind of made assignments, and things have followed out. Can I start with a company that size and develop culture? What's your take on that?
Here's the thing. Culture is going to be developed whether you plan culture or not, right? At least this is my
That's
opinion.
Correct.
Every company has a culture whether we plan that culture or not.
Spot on. That is what we're talking about. You and I spoke earlier about you can take that culture the direction that you want it to go, or you can let it take a direction on its own. I get a lot more success when I'm driving my vehicle if I'm guiding it at the steering wheel. You know? And it's the same thing in business. Say we are a large company. My goodness, I've seen some awfully large equipment. One time I was driving down the road going fishing, and this big combine was coming down the road. I mean, I'm talking a great big piece of equipment, taking up the full road. But, you know, the person driving it was like a 14-year-old farm boy, and he was just moving it over to another field. Here's all this equipment and all this power, but it's going exactly where it needs to because he's driving it. And that's what we need to do with our culture. We have all this power, all this opportunity, all these people. When we provide some aim and some direction for them, our culture develops in a way that enhances our whole productivity, our whole success as a company.
Jeff, I got a curveball for you. I've got a couple of questions here from business owners around the country. You mind if I fire a couple of these at you?
Let's do it.
So from Tampa, Florida, he asks, how do I find someone that will work as hard and care as much as I do as a business owner? And by the way, I'm dying to hear your answer to this one because this is a great question.
I love this answer. You can't. You can't find him. He finds you. Here's why. He gets what you're doing as a company. You have a fair and positive environment. You have what it takes to go to the next level. Say you're a single entrepreneur with an idea. You begin to share it with like-minded people. Someone is going to say, I'm in. That someone is going to work as hard as you. They're going to be involved like you. But the beautiful thing is they're not you. So their hard work may show up differently. It may be in thought or talent or a different direction, but it will be as intense because they found you. And the best salespeople, the best entrepreneurial-minded people, they look for opportunities for like-minded and goal-centered opportunities.
Now, I'm going to chime in on that, too, because I agree with you. I don't think that there's a surefire way of finding someone that will work as hard and care as much as you do as a business owner. They're not invested, financially invested and otherwise, in your business as much as you are. However, I believe there are great people out there that if we are doing a good job as a leader of empowering them, giving them a sense of ownership over their piece of what they're working on, most people will step up and take ownership over that. A quick little recommendation for my listeners here. Pick up the book called ZAPP, Z-A-P-P exclamation, and the author's name is William C. Byham, B-Y-H-A-M. This book is all about the lightning of empowerment so that we are zapping our employees positively and not sapping them and sucking the energy right out of them. If there's one way to get them to care nearly as much as you do, it's to empower them properly.
That sounds like a great read. I look forward to that. You know, that's true. I find when we're consulting that oftentimes the executive wants the hired company to come in and fix problems. Hey, I've got some people. This is my need. If you could do a training, I'd appreciate it. Let me know if you need anything. When can you do it? Type of approach. Well, it would be neat if you could buy your solutions in your company. Trainers are awesome. I happen to be one. I know you are, Kip. We can do great things, but I would rather work with the leaders than try to be them in their company.
Again, it comes back to empowerment, too. That's a big part of it. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, Jeff, but how many times have you gone in and you've given a training for a company on some important principles, whether it be communication or salesmanship or customer service or whatever it might be, and
right,
the leader of that company has essentially said, here's my people, train them, make them great, and let me know how that goes. And then they don't even attend the training, no leadership by example. I'm great as a leader. Please come fix my people. You ever had that happen?
You know, that makes a great cartoon in the newspaper because it's so common. And it isn't that we're attacking these leaders for that kind of thought. It's that very kind of thought that needs addressing most. And so we can meet with someone like that. That's the person where you say, well, you know, when we're going to go forward, here's how that looks like. I need you to be in the training. Actually, I want you to take part, and I would like to assign you this portion and this portion, or something like that. And then you have leadership saying, wow, well, I guess I could be a part of it. And you have leadership there. Hands will be raised, questions will be asked, and immediate things can be addressed that you're not going to have if it's down the line or anything else like that. I'm just appreciative of your statement there that it makes a difference if they lead by example.
Well, absolutely. And to all my business owners that are listening right now, just take this to heart. When you ultimately do training for your people, if it's outside training that you're bringing in, be there, be an example, contribute. Let them see you being a learner within the company because that's what you want them to be as well.
Do you feel like I do? There is an immense amount of talent in these leaders. They have such great ideas and they're going forward with their companies. But they're expanding and they need some help. Who do they surround themselves with? Well, this is where we go back to the leadership and say, what are your weaknesses? And it takes some good hard knocks sometimes to look and be honest about our weaknesses. But if I have a weakness, that's who I hire. I already am the strengths. Those are taken care of. It's easy when we look at sports. We've got an incredible rebounder. We've got one of the best rebounders in the game of basketball. What do we need? We need a shooter. We don't need another rebounder. We've got one. Now, once I grow the team larger, I could maybe have two incredible rebounders or three. But I need to hire where I'm weak so that I can be strong as a team.
Yeah, excellent. You know, that actually reminds me of something that we were talking about just the other day. Play to your strengths. In fact, another book recommendation, my listeners are used to this by now. Leaders are readers, folks. You need to be reading all the time. StrengthsFinder 2.0 by Tom Rath will help you understand what your strengths are and play to those strengths. And then as you grow your company, if there are areas where you are weak, sure, you can improve upon those weaknesses to an extent, but you may be best served by having others come in that are strong where you are weak so you can focus on your strengths. It's a better
Absolutely.
Use of your time and energy, and you'll accomplish more.
We all have weaknesses. That's the beauty of it. When we come together in our strengths, we move forward in our strengths.
Absolutely. One last question for you, Jeff. Jackson from Phoenix, Arizona asks, what is it that advertising and marketing cannot do for me as a business owner? Interesting question.
It's a beautiful question. It's often thought that advertising can do just about anything for you. I think that's taught by advertising companies. And advertising can do great things about what it is you're doing well, but it cannot create what it is you do well. Again, advertising cannot create what it is you do well. It can expose it. So we want to look at advertising as a tool, but we should never look at advertising as our tool belt.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Jeff, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. This show is always done in the spirit of coaching. We're trying to help our people accomplish the things that matter the most to them to be more effective in multiple areas of their life. And we always end up with a homework assignment. And you've inspired me in our conversation today to give a very particular assignment. So folks, I promise you, you will create a culture in your company no matter what, but in the absence of a plan, you may not be happy with the culture that evolves. And changing that culture, once it's taken root, is hard to do. Sit down and write out your vision for your company's culture. It's never too late. It's never too early. Sit down, write it out. Put examples of communication and interaction. And what about when things are hard or if there's a confrontation? How about the way you treat your employees? I've heard many companies say, the customer is number one. Consider that maybe your employees should be number one, and by putting them number one, they'll feel so great about you and your company that they put your customers number one. All things to be considered. That's the homework assignment for you today. Jeff, thank you for being on the show. And folks, remember, you can if you will.
For more information, visit KipKent.com. And remember, you can if you will.